Blog Talk Radio.
It's 9:30 p.m. Central Time, and it's time for the all-new Panic Room Radio Show.
Radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, welcome, welcome, one and all. A little bit of Bill Haley in the comments there. Yeah, I always forget how short the oldies, golden oldies are. I think it was about 2.5 minutes because I think that was the size. That's all they could squeeze onto the 45s back in the good old days. But a song I've not heard for a long, long time. So, episode 40 it is. Thursday night, 9:30 Central. And I'm sorry, if you can hear a noise, I'm fiddling with the microphone, which is, I just thought actually earlier, so they call them microphones, but they're not that small really, you know, to be micro, like micro machines a little, but anywho, episode 40, who'd have thought we'd survive this long, to be honest with you. It's 40 weeks of hilarity, I like to think of it. And it wouldn't be anywhere near as hilarious, I have to say, without, I'm going to call her my sidekick because I know that's just going to wind her up, but without my sidekick, the one and only, Extina. Well, hello, sidekick. How are you?
I'm okay with being called your sidekick. Yeah.
You can be Batgirl to my Batman if you want, you know.
No, I'm okay with that. I am. And,
you can hair to my Burke.
That's good too. You know, and you said it wasn't as hilarious or something without me, and that's just because you like to make fun of me, and I say the most silly things sometimes.
Yeah.
I still can't get over that butterfly issue. I'm still like, I cannot believe I did that.
You keep bringing it up.
I was going to let it lie,
but now you brought it up again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I was thinking about it earlier today because obviously I don't get out much. All thinking of all the great double acts of yesteryear. You know, and uh-huh. a lot of British comedians, I mean, the double acts were massive. You know, Cannon and Ball, and that wasn't the real names, obviously, Morecambe and Wise. And, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, all the greats were double acts. I'm thinking, who were some really good American double acts? I mean, I suppose Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, I guess, are two that stand out in my head.
I can't think
of any others. That's it.
No, the airhead in me is going, Bert and Ernie, you know, so I don't have anything either.
No, seriously, Bert and Ernie were a brilliant, brilliant. And as well, the old guys up in the balcony, you know, so that was great, brilliant. Well, it was dreadful, awful, boo. You know, but having, you know, bouncing off, you know, I've done stand-up comedy before, but I never... Never as a double act, you know. It'd be great just having somebody to bounce off, you know. So,
our listener has mm-hmm. commented Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, yeah. Oh,
yes.
The fat one and the skinny one.
Yes.
God, what were they called? Laurel and Hardy. They were great. They were great, you know, Donald Trump and Mike Pence. I mean, you know, they're the great comedy greats. The greats. I mean, you know. In fact, speaking of, shall I do it? Shall we? I mean, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same without Mr. President. I need to find him actually. He's sort of slipping down the list here. Let's welcome Mr. President.
By the pussy.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was awesome. So, you know, I was thinking, this whole thing, obviously, everybody's facing off in or around North Korea at the moment. And I think I know what it's about. It's about hair.
You think so?
It's about hair. You've got Trump, you've got Putin, and you've got Kim. Little Kim, bless him, or the tubby tyrant, as they call him in England, because he's a little bit chunky, bless him. And I think it is about him. And when you look at it, I mean, Putin, who's got a sort of probably the most sensible haircut of the three. You know, it's thinning a bit, but it's neat and it's smart. You've got Trump. I don't know what the fuck is going on in his head. To be honest,
I don't think anybody does anymore. I'm not even sure Melina does. I don't think anyone knows.
He probably gets attacked on a regular basis by small squirrels after looking for nesting materials. And then you've got Kim Jong-un, who, honestly, his hair looks like his mummy's done it with a pudding bowl and some scissors. Your poodles with. And he looks like he's putting up, there we go, Kim. And the thing is, that's like the official haircut. All the men have to have that haircut, otherwise they get shot in the face or something. He's just like, seriously, you look like a twat. I'm sorry, you know, I mean, it's not political and anything, but, you know, never mind pointing nuclear weapons at him. Get a decent haircut, Kim. Really? You know, it's...
So the bad thing about that whole conversation is I couldn't really contribute too much of anything because I am so I have my nose so buried in baseball right now. I have no idea what's going on in the world around me. You can go on and on and talk about all the political things. Can I'm just begging for a baseball segment.
Funnily enough, it's funny you should ask, but I've actually prepared a jingle for what I'm going to call the Extina Marie baseball segment, rather cleverly. And so I will play your jingle, and away we go.
Strike one.
I've two words to say to that. Shite!
Now, what's the other one?
Shite!
There we go.
So I am unhappy to announce that my team has lost yet again today. So I believe that's like 10 losses, and I think they won twice out of, you know, all those games. And they're not doing very well. But I will still root for them to the dying end. So I'm loyal.
Sorry, you're still talking?
I am.
I totally tuned you out.
Bad thing is some of my Facebook friends, when I'm watching it, they get like play by play updates. You know, I could treat you to play by play updates.
That. Yeah, could you not? Could you not? I'd rather you didn't.
It would bring us to a whole new level of intimacy, James. Are you sure you don't want to share baseball with me?
It would pretty much end what was once a good friendship, I think. Because no, I'd rather not. You can do that, and what I can do, I can send you sort of selfies of me with my stamp collection. I can get that out and stamps through the ages. We could do.
You know
what we could
do?
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised. What we could do is like on Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon and Amy Farrah Fowler, they do fun with flags. We could do fun with stamps.
Yeah.
The slogan could be the show that takes some licking. And not that I've given this a lot of thought.
Yeah, okay. That's a good save, though.
I think we should move swift now. I have a great, great stamp collection this night. It's awesome. So hey, we have a show. Yes, we do indeed. We have Mark Alan Gunnels and Dustin Lavallee. Look, you've done it again, haven't you? You've picked somebody who I can't pronounce, but I'm foreign.
I was trying.
I'm foreign.
To figure out.
You know, yeah. So I can get away with most things, but we've got a great show. We have a new listener, so we've now got two listeners. Big shout out to Dale, who is tuning in for the first time. God bless her, probably the last time. She's probably sat there thinking, what is this drivel? I've tuned in for some decent tunes. I've got a decent tune and some great guests and that. And all I've got is this sad little British man drivelling on about haircuts and stamps. And
I think it was entertaining.
Plus,
I do.
Plus that boring woman banging on about baseball again. Were you going to say something interesting there?
I wasn't. I really wasn't.
No, I thought not. So, anyway, we're going to bring Mark on board, I think, because I'm bored with you. So, Mark, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, no, you're
Hi,
normal.
Mark.
Sorry to keep you on hold there for a little while, but she gets going on about baseball, and she just the time just drags by. You know, so for goodness sake. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm staying awake just for this.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Is it way past your bedtime? It's past my bedtime as well. What time? What part of the country are you calling from?
I'm in the southeast in South Carolina.
Right. So are you on Central Time as well?
No, I'm on Eastern Standard. It's almost 11 here. I went to bed last night at 8:15. So.
Wow. All right. We're quarter to ten here. So. Well. So hopefully we'll keep you awake. But thank you for joining us. It's always nice to have a fresh face on the show.
Yes.
So. Oh, am I getting an echo? I'm getting some. You need to turn your radio off, mate. Hello.
Hello.
I'm here. Hello. I'm here.
Do you have your radio or your computer on? Because we're getting feedback or echo.
I don't have it. I don't have. I'm back in the back of the house. I don't have a computer
okay.
on my
I think it's gone.
Have it
yeah.
on in the front of the house. Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's gone now. Technical gremlin in the wiring. We always get one. So Mark's here to talk to us about his book, The Cult of Acasta. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, it is The Cult of Acasta. I assume that's how it's pronounced. It's a Native American legend. I can't say I've ever actually heard it now.
It's your book. You should know. I mean, really.
Well, then we're deciding it's Acasta. I assume it's like O and then rhymes with pasta, so Acasta.
Yeah, we'll go with that. So, okay. I can just keep hearing myself talking back, so I'm going to throw it open to you. Tell us a bit more about it, Mark.
Well, it's a novel I have out with Evil Jester Press. It's actually a sequel to an earlier novel I wrote called The Quarry, which takes place at a college here in South Carolina, Limestone College, which is my alma mater, about a ancient creature that's living in the lake there on the edge of the campus. And a lot of people who worship the creature have gathered to try to raise it and wreak havoc on mankind. So it's a kind of a creature feature, hopefully exciting horror type story. So
awesome.
But,
and I'm anxious to hear more about it. Do you have a reading for us?
I thought I might do just a little reading maybe from the prologue of it just to give people a little taste.
Okay.
Okay.
We're ready when you are.
Okay. Like I said, this is just the very beginning of it, so hopefully it entices people. That's what you want from the beginning. Okay. But I'll start now. It is dark where I am, and cold, concern me much. They are as inconsequential as the passage of time. Centuries have come and gone since I was imprisoned here, but I do not grow impatient. It is the merest drop of water in the vast ocean of my lifespan. I did become frustrated by how close I came with the Sierra human, freedom finally within my grasp only to be snatched away at the last moment. But I do not fret. A being such as myself cannot be contained forever. Even now I feel wheels in motion, events aligning in my favor. There are those out there that know of my existence, that long to touch one so powerful, so ageless. I hear their whispered prayers and declarations of devotion, and I whisper back, calling out to their minds, invading their dreams, leading them to me. Soon they will arrive. They will feed me, nourish me with the souls of sacrificial lambs, and I will grow strong again, strong enough to break these mystical chains and arise from this watery cell. I will walk the earth once more, doing as I please, manipulating, tormenting, and slaughtering the mortal animals. I have big plans for when I am finally liberated, especially for you, Emilio. Emilio Gambrell came awake at once, bolting upright in bed. His body was coated in a sticky layer of sweat, and his breathing came in quick, shallow bursts. The light above the stove shone in the kitchen area of his studio apartment, as always. He hadn't slept in complete darkness for the past few years. Pushing aside the damp covers, he got out of bed and shuffled down the short hallway past the washer and dryer to the cramped bathroom. After relieving himself, he turned on the cold water in the sink and drank from his cupped hand. Glancing at his reflection, he sighed and shook his head. For a man only in his early 20s, he looked much older. The strain and anxiety of the last several years were stamped on his face, premature wrinkles crinkling the corners of his eyes and lips. Not that it made much difference. There was no one in his life Amelia was trying to impress. Heading back down the hall, he snagged his cell from the bedside table and checked the time. 2:43 a.m. He'd slept a little over 3 hours, and he knew from experience that he was probably up for the night. Turning on a lamp in the corner, he sank into his thrift store recliner and picked up his netbook from the floor. Amelia lived a rather Spartan existence. He didn't even own a TV. But he did sometimes watch movies on his netbook. Flipping through the stack of DVDs next to the chair, he found the one he wanted and slid the disc into the external drive. Turning down the volume so he didn't disturb the old lady next door, although judging from how loud she played the television during the day, she was probably half deaf as it was. Amelia started watching The Howling. He wasn't really a horror fan, and this old werewolf movie in particular was a bit too cheesy for his taste, but the film had very pleasant associations for Emilio, as it was the first film he'd ever watched with Norman, and it usually helped relax him, especially after waking from one of his nightmares. Nightmares, he mumbled to himself with a dry, humorless laugh. He wished they were only nightmares, but suspected they were something much worse. He'd been experiencing them ever since that night out by the old church across from the quarry. The night the creature from the lake, working through Dale's body, had attempted to possess Emilio. It hadn't been successful, but something had happened. Some melding of the minds. Sounded ridiculously Star Trek, but Emilio had seen the creature's past, felt its emotions, crude as they were. A link had been formed, a connection. Psychic? Emilio knew firsthand that stranger things had happened. These were more than dreams. While he slept, his mind plugged into that of the creature, and he knew what it was thinking deep down beneath the waters of the quarry. Could feel its hatred, sense its plotting. The movie wasn't calming him the way it usually did. His skin tingled as if with static electricity, and he had that eerie feeling of being watched. It could have been only his imagination kicked into overdrive because of the nightmare. Or it could have been something more. Perhaps the connection wasn't only active while Emilio slept. Maybe even now the creature was taking a tour of his mind, rifling through his memories, peeking out from behind his eyes. Emilio turned off the movie and set the netbook aside. His thoughts churned and twisted in his brain like clothes in a washer. But in the early morning gloom, he remained still and silent, staring straight ahead at the blank wall, wondering what the future held.
Oh, wow. I am sold.
Awesome.
I want to cancel the rest of the show, and we can just listen to him read. Can we do that?
Just make Mark read the entire book. That would be great.
Yes,
yes.
You read that really well.
And that was beautiful. You got a great, great reading. You should do your own audiobook version. I'm a big creature feature fan myself. Probably one of my favorite genres. And you mentioned one of my all-time favorite films in there, which is The Howling.
The Howling.
Which,
yes,
for me, is the... I mean, it's funny. I mean, it came out at the same time as American Werewolf in London. Everybody raved about that. And the other one, the Neil Jordan one, the...
Company of Wolves.
Something with Company. I was thinking of Dancers with Wolves, but that was something completely different. the Company of Wolves. But for me, The Howling was... I mean, the book was fantastic. The Gary Bradner book was brilliant. But the film, it was very stuck to the book, very faithful to the book. But B, for me, that was the werewolf film. I mean, you described it as cheesy there, Mark. I mean, is that how you feel about my favorite film?
My character said it was cheesy. I'm a big fan of the movie. My character is not as big a fan of the movie. But I grew up on those 80s horror movies, and those are still my favorites.
Yes.
And
yes,
those
yeah.
practical
yeah.
effects still, I think, work a lot better than any of the CGI stuff you
it's
get nowadays.
Funny, even now, I mean, you know, I watched it again not that long since, probably about 6 months ago. And it's like with the original The Thing. You know, all practical effects, mm-hmm. and they still hold up. They're still as good now as they were, 30 years ago?
I really think so, and I think just having something physically there really, you know, helps with the suspension of disbelief, you know, whether it's a puppet or whatever, you know. Too many of the movies now are like watching a cartoon.
You might as well watch a cartoon. You know, I mean, like you say, if you want to watch a cartoon, watch a Pixar movie or something. But in fact, there's a phase, I've never heard of it before. I think it came out last year called The Void. I haven't seen it yet. I think it's on Netflix. And apparently that's a return to, which is becoming a trend, actually, I think, with horror movies, a return to practical effects. I think they're realizing that the horror audiences don't want, like you said, they don't want cartoons. You know, they want the proper visceral blood. And there's nothing more, you know, visceral than, you know, the glistening of blood. And they just don't seem to be able to catch that with CGI, you know. I remember, again, it's gone back a few years now, going to see Alien 3. You know, having, I mean, Alien and Alien 2 probably, you know, some of the best movies ever made, you know. And Alien 3 was just such a letdown because it was the CGI, and it, you could tell. You know, CGI was relatively young. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think it affects the performances of the actors, too, when they're actually playing to something physically there as opposed to just something that's being described as them that they're not actually seeing at the moment.
Oh, definitely,
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the John Hurt chest scene in Alien? That was done, if they just CGI that in later, you know, because the actors didn't know. They kept that bit of the script from, they knew something was going to happen. And the look on their faces when they got splattered with pig guts was real, genuine surprise because they did not know that was going to happen. So they were expecting something, but not that. And it was, so you just couldn't do that with CGI. It would just be, you know, just a green screen. We'll stick a little, you know, sock puppet in later, you know. It was so, I mean, is it those kind of movies that have inspired this particular novel?
Well, like I said, I am a child of the 80s, and I do particularly love the horror of that era. And while a lot of my books, they're not really throwbacks, but I think they're definitely very inspired by the kind of horror that I grew up on. And, I mean, I do have a few books that are just blatantly homages to 80s horror, but I think all of them sort of have that feel and atmosphere of the 80s horror because it's what inspired me growing up, and I think the stuff that really gets in your head early on always stays with you.
You know, I think it, I grew up on the sort of late 70s and the 80s movies, and reading as well, the early Stephen King, James Herbert, you know, Gary Bradner, you know, some of the, I consider the greats, you know, and it's funny enough, one of my favorite novels that I've written is a homage to the old creature feature. It's called Pede. It's about giant centipedes attacking a bunch of people in an abandoned hotel. And it is, like you say, you know, it's an unashamed homage to that genre because that's exactly the very first grown-up horror novel I read was The Rats by James Herbert. Brilliant.
Yeah.
British horror novelist. And like you say, and that must have been now probably, I mean, I was still at middle school, so that's nearly 40 years ago now. And that molded me, to now. Even now I'm influenced by Herbert and early King. So it's funny what sticks in our head, really. It's scary.
Yeah.
But, So is there any sort of genre, any other genre that you would like to write in, or is this your niche and you're going to stick to it?
Well, I mean, horror and fantasy, that's just my first and truest love, probably. So I'm always going to write that, and I'll never have any qualms about being labeled as a horror writer. I do branch out from time to time because I do have other interests, and, you know, I have one book that's practically a romance novel. It's a time travel romance novel, but it's very romantic.
Oh, wow.
In the end. And I do, when I do short story collections, I really like an eclectic mix, and I do have more, like, dramatic non-horror stories that I put in there just, you know, to show the readers that, you know, I have some range. Yeah. But I'll always come back to horror. I can't get away from that.
Yeah.
It's just in
my
blood.
I mean, if you've got a good story in your head, then a good story is a good story. You know, it doesn't matter.
I mean,
what.
Some of my favorite writers are like Joe Lansdale, who, I mean, he'll just go from genre to genre, and he's just a great storyteller. So it really, I'll follow him to any genre because I know he's going to tell a good story. So, as a writer, if I get an idea that's not the typical thing I usually write, I don't want to be afraid to go there because if I think of something that I think will be a good story, I want to write it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I would agree. I mean, we're all writers here, you know. I've never once thought I'm not going to write that because it's not horror, you know, and I think some of the best things, certainly the best shorts I've written have not been. One stuck in my head was I guess it was science fiction, really, but not, you know, sort of a more earthy science fiction, but not your Ursula Le Guin type. But and the other was just, I don't know what it would be. It's like a drama, I guess, or human drama thing about a couple of kids in a war-torn apartment building, which, I mean, the horror was in the circumstance. You know, there was no monsters or ghosts and ghouls or demons, but it's probably the most haunting thing I've ever written. It's not even a horror story. So, hey, you know, what comes out, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I just always say go where the story takes.
I would agree, yes. Yeah, definitely. So, this book, this is out now, this is available, yeah? Evil Jester Press.
Yeah, you can get it from Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. There's a paperback and, as always now, an ebook edition.
Of course. And, it wouldn't be the same without ebooks.
And, I'm pretty excited. I've published a few books with Evil Jester Press, but this is the first one I've had out in a while with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had published the book this is a sequel to, I was really happy that they wanted to do this one.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That must have gone well. So, is there going to be a sequel to this? Is this going to be a trilogy or a series, or are you done with the story now?
I think it pretty much wrapped up. It's a direct sequel to The Quarry, but I have a lot of stories that take place at that college. Sometimes I joke that it's like my Castle Rock, and I really feel like this book kind of wrapped all that up. It just felt like a good close. Like I don't think I'm going to write any more stories set on that campus. I feel like this book is my final word on that, and I feel like I wrap it up pretty well.
Yeah, it's funny. I never wanted to have, you know, the whole Castle Rock thing, but it's funny, you know, you create a place, and I found this a couple of times. You just start creeping back towards it, you know. I think maybe because in your mind it's there,
it's a real place.
You know.
Yeah,
it's there. And I thought, let's, you know, and it's always based on, you know, a bit of the town you grew up in and a bit of this and a bit of that. And it is funny. I mean, obviously Stephen King is renowned for, you know, having, you know, Derry and Castle Rock in everything.
Yeah.
You know, it works, you know, and I think if certainly as you build up a following, you know, your readers are familiar with it. You don't have to spend a lot of time describing somewhere new because it's just there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, I have all these different stories set there that aren't really connected, except that they take place in the same fictional universe, so there may be references here and there. And, you know, I say I'm done, but you never know, because when I wrote The Quarry, the first book, I never intended to write a sequel to it. But, you know, the idea came, and I just had to go with it, so I ended up with The Cult of Akasha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely are a slave to the craft, I think. Just write what kind of flows out of it.
I think sometimes you have to sit and wonder, you know, who's driving
yes,
who.
Who is,
you said I'm gonna write this now, and your brain just goes, no, you're not actually. You're gonna write that.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but I don't want to need to do it. No.
Definitely. Or have you ever read back your own stuff and sit there and think, I wrote that? When did I? That's not even something I would say. So it does make you wonder sometimes
from. You've done a little side bit or a little, you know, little bit of background to a character that isn't in none of your notes anywhere.
Yep.
And you say, where did that come from? It's good, but where did it come from? I don't know.
Exactly.
You know, I can look back at some of my older stuff and, you know, some stories, I know there are specific antecedents I remember that led to the story, but other ones, like, I just have no idea where that idea came from, or, you know, so I definitely believe that it's the writer's job to sit back and let the story lead him or her instead of the writer trying to force the story to conform to some preconceived notion. Like,
yeah,
I like to start a story and let it just sort of take over, and then I just follow wherever it goes.
Yeah. Now,
I think we all do.
Well, it does make me wonder. I mean, how do you map out your stories beforehand, or set out a really good outline? Or I have trouble with that. Usually, I just keep going. I don't really have a clear path or something. It just whatever happens. And a lot of people aren't like that. They have a really strict outline that they follow, and there's no there's nothing else. So.
Well, I am not an outliner.
Yes.
I know some writers that really works for them, and more power to them, but I'm not with my short fiction, I usually go in with, I have a notion, and I just start and see what happens. Now, with my, a longer piece, I may make nothing as formal as an outline, but it just jot down a few notes of, some points I want to hit, and maybe a direction I think I'm going, but I definitely build into it the freedom to not follow any of those notes if that's where the story takes me. Because often I'll think I know what's going to happen, and then the story just goes in a different direction and I just follow it.
Well, we are getting really close to the end of the first segment here, and I have not done 11 questions. So do you have that cute little jingle, James?
Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked.
I hope you're ready for it,
and
Mark.
Now,
I'm
11 questions.
Okay, what's your guilty pleasure?
Well, I'm not guilty about any pleasure. But, so, I'm going to say I don't have any. If I like it, I'm proud of it.
I like that answer. All right. Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
I guess I'll go ranch style because I'm a vegetarian, so I won't have the pork in there.
Okay, puppies or kittens?
Puppies.
What's your favorite lunch meat?
Tofurkey.
Okay. what was your first car?
You've done it
car?
Again, haven't you? Xena's doing it again. She's judging you, Mark. She's judging you on your lunch meat.
I can hear
preference.
That. I can hear it.
You can hear that. So, that's a bit bland. Turkey's bland.
But my first car that was here?
Yes, sir. Yes.
It was a Mercury Topaz.
I can't even picture that. Okay. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Snakes, definitely.
No, the answer is spiders. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, you got that wrong as well, Mark. You're just not doing well, dude. Not doing well.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Freddy, for me.
Okay, first draft, handwritten, or word processor?
Definitely word processor.
Favorite alcoholic drink?
I've never had alcohol in my life.
Ever, ever?
No, I'm a very odd individual.
Well, I'm drinking for both of us tonight, then. And
drinking for everyone, to be honest.
Number 11, one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
I can't swim.
Okay, and here we go. Here's the bonus question. Baseball or stamp collection?
Well, I'm not really into either, but I would probably stamp collect before I would.
Oh, man.
Yay. Excellent.
I do.
Well, strike one for stamp
we
collecting.
We do enjoy going to baseball games locally, but mostly we're there to watch the other people.
there you go. Well, one for stamp collecting.
I know. Only
it's,
one,
it's,
though,
it's,
so
it's,
I'm still winning.
Sorry, the swimming thing. I mean, it's funnily enough, I only learned to swim. I was 33 when I actually learned to swim. I had to take adult swimming lessons, which was embarrassing. But I had an accident in a swimming pool when I was like four, and have a phobia of water ever since. I still do. I still don't like water on my face, but.
Yeah. I assume that I drowned in a past life because I have no explanation of my fear of large bodies of water, but I'm convinced that there's something weird about the makeup of my body and I'm incapable of floating.
In which case, avoiding swimming pools is probably a very, very good idea, I'd say. Avoid them. But no, it's one of my earliest memories, actually. I was on holiday, on vacation, sorry, with my my grandparents. I was on my granddad's shoulders, and he tripped in the swimming pool,
yeah.
And I went under and inhaled a lot of water. And they fish. I remember them fishing me out, and I, like I say, I mean, they did swimming lessons at school, and I just buggered about, and I was just too scared to take my feet off the floor. So, and it's funny, only until I had children and we were going places, and I realised, well, you know, if either of them fell in a body of water, I couldn't do anything. I actually pushed myself and learned to swim. And even now, I it's not something I do for fun. I do it, you know, with the kids and whatnot. It's not something I do for fun.
My husband has gotten me into a pool, but, you know, I just kind of stand there in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's talking about we have a pool here, mate. I go in with my little girl. It's summer months. She's in it constantly. And, you know, I'll go in and I'll just sort of sit on a floaty or just float in the
yeah.
corner. You know, just sit on something,
well,
you know, something inflatable, you know.
I spent
yeah.
many years living in close to Tampa in Florida, and, you know, you couldn't get me out of the water. So, but that's just, I think that's just Florida living because, you know, if you go out of the water, it's like living in hell and, you know, you don't really, it's just too hot.
I love to look at the ocean. I love to sit on the beach and look at the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. The beach is a great place to just look at it. It's like, you know, even now, my wife, bless her, she dragged me on a cruise 2 years ago. The first time I've ever, I mean, I don't trust boats. At all. They go, boats go on water, boats sink. I've seen Titanic, boats sink. No matter what you say, they sink. You know, and I went on a cruise, and I did enjoy the cruise, but I think I was probably on edge most of the weekend because it was like, we're in the middle of nowhere, literally. All you can see is water. My biggest nemesis, I'm just surrounded by it. If this boat goes down, I'm in the water. And I was a bit nervous. I drank a lot. To be honest, just to take the edge off, I drank more than normal. So there you go. fear of water. you're not as old as you thought you were, Mark.
Well, we are getting really, really close to the end of our first segment here. So can you tell us where we can find you online and plug your book one last time for us, Mark?
Well, I have a Facebook page, Mark Allen Gunnels. I have a blog that I update semi-regularly at markgunnels.livejournal.com. And I have a Twitter at Mark A. Gunnels, but Twitter's not really my thing, but I might put something here and there. And all my books are on Amazon. I have my own author page. The Cult of Acosta is the new one, but I have all of them on there. So take a look. Check it out. See if anything looks interesting to you.
Okay, and I do think that I posted almost all of the links that you just said over on our Facebook page, and because I stalk, that's kind of my job is I stalk people. So I found your Twitter and everything, but you're probably not aware of that because you don't go on it. But it is there.
She's probably found more things that you knew about. Actually,
right,
about.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you not bringing up all the skeletons.
Like, do you still have you still got your MySpace account? You know?
I joined the revolution so late. MySpace was already over by the time I came around. To
oh no, I joined it for business purposes back in England. I had a MySpace account, and Tom was my was it Tom or Tim was my first friend on MySpace, but. Yeah, like you said, that's, I don't know, is it still going? Is MySpace still going? Are they still do that now?
I don't know.
The last thing I heard was that, oh, God, who was it? I think, oh, God, it was some big pop dude, Justin Timberlake or something like that. The last time I heard, one of them guys owned it or something and pretty much turned it all into just music. So it's not... It's still going, but it's not anything.
Oh,
like,
right. So it's different now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Facebook pretty much wiped the floor with it, so.
Yeah. But, no, I enjoyed MySpace. I mean, I thought it was – and when I went to make the transition over to Facebook, I resisted for a really long time. No, I won't go. But I'm glad.
I had both. I mean, for the businesses we were running back in England, you know, that was a social media. There was a Friends Reunited as well. Did you have that over here? Or was that a British thing? And that was based called Friends Reunited, and that was based around schools. And you would go in and obviously school, and it was actually hooked up with some old school friends, including my high school English teacher, who I had a massive crush on. So, and it was just nice to touch base with it after all these years. But
a couple years ago, they tried to start another social media. It was called TSU. Does anybody remember that?
No,
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it didn't last for very long, but
I resisted Twitter, and then I joined it, and I guess I'm not succinct enough. Like, I think I have a short message, and then I start typing, and it's too long, and I'm like, well, screw it, I'll just put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't really get Twitter too much either. Okay, well, anyway, it was, real quick, will you promise to come back and see us, Mark? That's how I get everybody to agree. I put
I
them
a
on
great
the spot,
time.
They
I'll
can't
definitely
really
come
say
back.
No. Okay,
I
great.
I have
a
great time.
You've legally committed yourself now, so there's no backing out.
Yes.
But,
okay, I've sold myself.
We will have to have you back. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has,
thanks
and I will be stalking you on Facebook. Thank you, Mark.
Well, you're nobody
thanks
until
a lot,
you
Matt.
Have a stalker, so have a good night.
And you. Okay, you get yourself off to bed now.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye, okay. Mark. Awesome. Well, it was really nice for him to stay up late for us. That was great. So,
I know.
So,
yeah.
Are you going to do any commercials then? I mean, you know.
I am, yes. Let me take a drink first. Okay, here we go. We at Help... Shush, now I'm talking. We here at Help on Books would like to inform you... Oh, my God, seriously? We here at Hellbound Books would like to inform you that, following the appropriate rituals, a portal has opened and spawned a horde of hellish delights in which you mortals can partake. Depraved Desires, our dark erotica and erotic horror anthology. Shopping List, learn your favorite author's shopping habits and confront them in the produce aisle. And Big Book of Bootleg Horror, a sinister tome dripping with taboo things to make your skin crawl. All are available at your favorite outlets. Find your links to them at HellboundBooksPublishing.com. And finally, we at Hellbound Books are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. How did I do? Did I do good?
Oh, is that it? I thought I was expecting a lot
more.
Actually. No, that was
say,
brilliant.
I was also going to say, don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. There we go.
Awesome. Sorry, I didn't. I was just excited. I was giddy about the app. And I do believe it is the first independent horror publisher to have an official app, a proper app that is available. On Apple, it's available on Google Play, so you can have it on your Android, you can have it on your iOS, you can have it on your tablet. You horror in the palm of your hand. I mean, you know, does life get any better than that?
Yeah, and it looks so cool, and it's got so many cool things on it, and you can listen to the Panagram on it. That's really cool.
You can just press the button, and you can listen to us blathering on about. I mean, that's probably a negative. All the books, all the new releases. My favorite bit, actually, is they put on you can participate in a community novel. You just log in, you go in, you add your bit, obviously put your name on it, and once it reaches novel length, providing it is publishable, it should be, it will be published by Hellbound Books Publishing, and all proceeds will go to Seth Rogen's charity, Hilarity for Charity, which goes to help Alzheimer's sufferers and their carers. So there you go. So yeah, get the app, people. It's awesome. There you go.
I checked that.
Here endeth the message. Anyway, look, I need a wee-wee, so I think we need to go into the break now, and we will be right back in. I'm going to have to be quick, actually. This is a quick song, 2 minutes, 10 seconds.
Okay.
part two.
Ha! Indeed. I have a feeling, listening to that song, that the House of Blue Light is a brothel, which is pretty cool. So are you there, Xtina? Are you back with us, or you sort of drunk yourself under the table?
I'm here. I didn't hear it say unmute, so I wasn't talking yet. Because,
unmute. You're just not paying attention.
Well, see, in the earlier shows, I would just be babbling away before I would hear unmute, and they'd be like, oh, my gosh, I just wasted all that good material for nothing. Not that it was actually good material, but, you know.
You say good material, that's objective, isn't it, really? So,
it is. It's very...
Anyway, on a more interesting note, this is something that I decided to grow a beard. It's the first time I've actually grown a beard in all my years of manhood. And I didn't realize how complicated it was, to be honest, because I, and again, if there's any beardy people out there listening, do you wash it with, you know, in the shower with your body wash or whatever, your soap that you wash your face with? Yeah. Or do you shampoo? Because it's like hair, but on your face. So is it fair? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is the honest truth. I was hoping, I mean, what do you wash yours with?
The hair on my face?
Yeah, your beard and your mustache. How do you keep the crumbs out of that? I mean, no, honestly, it's just, I don't know. So anybody can help.
I know they have beard, like, stuff, like beard, I don't know what it's called, but, like, stuff that you... I don't know what it's called, but there's some stuff that you can put in your beard to make it smell good. But you don't have a beard, do you?
Well, I do. That's the whole point of the conversation. Yes, I am growing a beard.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we have. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, thanks for that. That was great.
I guess if I had a bunch of facial hair, I might use shampoo too. Yeah, I don't know though. Yeah. But, you know, Google knows everything. We can Google.
I actually hedge my bets, and I use both. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll wash it with a shampoo when I'm washing my hair, and then I'll use my pomegranate infused body wash as well. So it's very clean. It's a very clean beard.
Well, you know, you got to have a clean beard. Yeah, you definitely do. You don't want a stinky, gross beard.
No, I mean, I don't want a big sort of bushy thing. I'm just keeping it. So it's funny. I mean, I finally pushed through the itching phase where it just itches like buggery. It was horrible for like a couple of days. But now, no, my daughter loves it. She calls it chinny, and it's like having another pet. Like just having a gerbil, but on my face, which is great because I like gerbils. So there you go. I have to post a picture when it's. The scary thing is the large proportion of it that is grey. I'm like a badger, to be honest with you.
Oh my goodness, I had a dream last night where I woke up and I had like 3 inches of my hair was just white, and I freaked out, and I was in a drugstore, and I went into the drugstore and started dyeing my hair in their bathroom. I didn't even have gloves on. My hands were all black. It was all over my face. I think I was having a scary dream about, like, you know, a midlife crisis or something, because it was really scary.
Well, you know, when I wake up and, you know, having dreamt that my hair's sort of turned silvery white, it's actually happened. That is actually reality. That is what has happened. No, over a lot of years.
Exactly. In my dream, it was overnight. These crazy, they were white, these crazy white roots for like, you know, 2-3 inches, and I freaked out. It was just awful.
Well, I mean, up until recently, I've been sort of bleaching my hair blonde. I mean, I've been for a lot of years, I've been blonde. Not my natural color.
So that's
obviously
not your original hair color?
Blonde? No, it's not for me. No. But surely it's got to the point where I don't need to bleach it no more. It's a nice sort of silvery white all by itself, which is depressing. But hey, anyway, let's cheer things up. Hopefully, this is young Becky. Is that you, Becky? Is that yourself?
Yes, it is.
How are you? And I mean, what do you wash your beard with, Becky?
Oh my gosh, you're making me spit out my wine.
Oh, back into the glass, hopefully. Back into the glass so you can drink it again.
Gross.
Oh. Yuck.
So, Becky,
well,
Becky, what
are... I don't have one, so I don't know.
Right?
Right?
You're...
I don't,
wrong audience, James.
Me think she doth protest too much. There you go. Anywho, I'm going to play your jingle and you can do as a review.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. Oh, no. Go on.
Tonight I'm going to do Nightly Visits by Stephen Helms. First off, the cover is absolutely brilliant. I love it. It's so creepy looking. There are six stories in this collection. I think the first story was my favorite. It's about a regular guy that works as a writer for a newspaper, and he's kind of a wallflower. And then there's a serial killer on the loose. And his best friend who works with him talks him into going to a bar for Halloween, and that's where things get really wild and weird. And I can't really say much more than that because, you know, I'll ruin it. But the thing I like about these stories is they're all so believable. I mean, they could happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. I mean, they're not far-fetched, and they're not, really strange and weird. It's a really nice way of telling a story. It weaves together really well, and you kind of forget that you're reading. I just think that takes real talent. I definitely recommend this book to anybody. The second story I really love, too, because it kind of reminds me a little bit of Flowers for Algernon, but with a twist. And nobody probably has ever heard of that book because it's an older book. And, well, you know.
Sorry, what book was that? Say that. What was that again?
Flowers for Algernon.
No, I never heard of it.
It's really a good book. It's about a little white mouse. And there's a little white mouse in the second story, and the lady accidentally turns him pink. Bright pink.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's about mouse cruelty. I don't think I approve.
No, she's not
mouse cruelty
to
mice.
She's not mean to him, but it was an accident, and it was just really, I don't know, the whole thing, it was really, really good. I'd give it 5 stars out of 5. It was really a good read. I really enjoyed it.
Did
awesome.
You listen
awesome.
To the, he's got a, he has a, one of the short stories he made, he did audio, and it's up on YouTube. I believe it's called Spots. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And
he read it himself.
Yeah, he read it himself
yeah.
too, and he did an awesome, amazing job. We had him on the show months and months ago, and I can't believe that I haven't had him back yet. But is he scheduled? I don't know. But he'll be coming back soon because he was a great guest.
I think Stephen is. Yeah,
back.
I mean, we need to pre-record it because he's a bit of an early riser.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, a big friend of the show. But so I just I can't believe you just wrote that. How?
What?
In fact,
me?
You do. I'm going to do the sound effect. I'm going to put the sound effect in for what he's doing right now. So I just little things popped up on my monitor here. I understand it's your birthday tomorrow, Becky. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
You
yes,
kept
sir.
That quiet. You
yes,
kept
I
that
did.
Quiet. Well, happy birthday for tomorrow.
Yes,
you.
Definitely.
If I'd known, we could have sort of clubbed together and got you some beard shampoo or something. But maybe
I will drink for you, Becky. I will drink for you for your birthday.
Right
now.
You would. Xtina would drink for the opening of an envelope, wouldn't you, Xtina, to be honest with you?
I would. It doesn't take much. It doesn't.
So, hang on. I'm going to play this. This is an introduction to Dustin. Oh,
he's gonna kill me.
I like. I've just been. I need to go again now. But. So Becky. So this birthday. So will you be having another one next year?
Well, if all goes as planned, yes.
All goes according to plan. If things don't go so well, then no.
I'm hoping to have another one next year.
Well, you know, we're all hoping you do as well. I mean, I'm going to make a note. Happy birthday and everything for tomorrow. That's
thank you.
Great. I hope you have a great day. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Put your feet up and get hopelessly drunk and have a good time. But thank you for joining us, and thank you. Where can our listener find Nightly Visits by Stephen Helms?
On hellboundbooks.com.
Well, there you go. Everything comes back to them on this show today, but
I don't understand.
Strange old world. Anywho, thank you for joining us, Becky. Much appreciated, as always. We're going to say goodbye, and we're going to bring Dustin on now. I think he's done what he needed to do. So we'll speak to you again next week.
All right.
Bye, Becky.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Oh, bless her. Happy birthday, Bex. God bless. She did keep that quiet.
Yeah,
well,
I
hopefully,
no
18T. No, it just literally just popped up here, so now I know. 18T Willing, we have Dustin on the line. Are you there, sir?
Hi, yes. Sorry about the cockle.
Hello.
Well,
hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you
for joining.
So, you have seen the beard? The beard?
Yes.
Do you have soaps for it? I don't use it. I just use regular face soap, but a lot of my friends do use special shampoo conditioner.
Right. I just want something that's easy. I mean, if it gets too complicated, I'm just going to shave it off. I just want something to fiddle with. It's great. I just stroke it and fiddle with it. It's great. My wedding ring is like a Celtic design. It's all sort of, it's got holes in it and everything. I got a couple of beard strands caught in it the other day, and I nearly went through the ceiling. That was horrible.
Now, you know, you are deciding to grow a beard in the wrong time of the year. You should have done this, you know, back in the fall to keep your face warm in winter.
Yeah, up until this particular moment, no, I hadn't considered that. Yeah, we're just about to hit another Texas summer, so it may be coming off in a month, actually.
Right.
Yeah, you're quite right. You're quite right. Because it's funny, I always make sure I cut my hair, but yeah.
This is your practice run. That's all. You'll get the hang of it,
great
and you'll
double
have
chins.
Uh huh.
I got a double chin, grow a beard.
Well, you know, that is actually the primary reason, because I thought I could either lose weight or grow a beard and cover it a bit. So, hence the beard.
I don't think that would work as well for me, though.
Well, I do not think your beard is quite nice, Xtine. It's fetching. It's fetching.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to post a picture so everybody knows I don't have a beard.
No, actually, she does have a beard, people. So, Dustin's here to talk to us about his story collection, A Soundless Dawn, available on Sinister Grimm Press. It was out last month. Tagline: short stories that grasp for the soul and challenge not only societal norms, but those expected of literature. That is a hell of a tagline to live up to, sir. Tell us more.
Yeah.
Well, really, I was just kind of engrossed with Thomas Ligotti and kind of stole all his style. But after I started talking with him, and after I got off the narcotics for my surgery, I started maturing, I guess, and my work started changing. I was more into challenging myself, which I believe Thomas does as well. And I had a hell of a time finding someone to publish it, but Sinister Grimm was very kind, and they were into it. Tristan and his name, Matt. Thomas was great. He read all my work, praised it, and of course Edward Lee, who he wrote the intro. But I'm always trying to change up the formula, format, how they're told. Like, I think you might have seen a couple of the micro shorts, but
yes. I want you to describe to me what does that I'm trying to I don't even know what a micro short is really. I try to Google it, but is it like a poem or I wasn't really too sure.
It's pretty much a vignette. I started in college. I was a fan of Mike Arnson, and he used to write very short stories, and I liked it. Showed it to my professor, and he told me to give it a try, and it stuck. So he gave me a limit of 250 words, told me write a novel with 250 words.
Oh, wow.
And I just kind of fell in love with it. It was very challenging.
I was reading a couple of the micros that you send over for us, and I really enjoyed them. Do you have one to read? I mean, I know we have one, but
can we read ours out now? Can we do ours now? I've been dying to do this. This is great. It's almost. I mean, it's funny. I tried. I think it was some publisher was doing like a contest, like flash fiction, which was like I think like 10 words, 20 words, and that is bloody difficult. I mean, you know, for me, I write a short story and it's 14,000 words. So, trying to get these really get something across in a very short space of time, but I, you know, trying to condense something into 10 or 20 words is, there is an art to it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go first because I can.
Isn't it ladies first?
Well, there is that, but there's also let's save the best to last. So,
I'll let you go first.
Okay, here's mine. Here we go, in my micro. Here we go. The city that bleeds, this city's streetlights bleed. Golden memories dip and fade on worn, weathered concrete. Fluorescence left to bubble in the summer heat, sticking to the soles of corner girls and John Doe's.
That's why I wanted to go first, because what if you read yours better than mine?
It is the well, of course it will. I've got the Sean Bean does James Bond accent going on, but no, I mean that really, it puts you there in a hot, sticky, you know, late afternoon, early evening, grubby city, you know, in the shit end of the city where the hookers hang out. You know, it's there. That's great. I love that.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay,
your turn. Your turn.
Okay. Winter in season. It's snowing, she says. I peer out the window and agree. What shall we do now? Shaking my head, I gesture indecision with a rise in my shoulders. Sleep it off, she suggests. Nodding, I crawl into bed and reach for her. Cold hands, she shivers at my touch. I let go, she rolls away, and I accept that winter has come in season, in body and in mind.
Cool. I like that. Not as good as me, obviously, but no, that was really well done. Well done, that was good.
And again, you've gone all demonic on us, James.
Right, okay, you talk.
Oh, thanks. And believe, you know what, I think we should take a poll, and I think people should call in or tell us or something. But I believe I read mine better. What do you think, Dustin? I was better, right?
I believe it was, yes.
Ha! And now he can't even say anything because, you know, he's got to try to fix his stuff here. So did you have one to read as well, Dustin?
Yeah, sure. I was trying to decide which one, but the one you just read was written about an ex-girlfriend when we were dating at the time. She has seasonal affective disorder, so that's I wrote that when she went to bed one night. And this one's about Gary Ridgway. Not about him, inspired by him. It's called Sadomasochistic Man. And starts drug addicted, alcoholic, sadomasochistic man, worships Satan and swinges. A collector of hopeless, helpless, hapless flesh, he loves injecting narcotics to the cage rats, the homeless youth, with whom he invents games of tribute and worship to the gods of drugs and perversion. The end.
Oh, wow. I like these. I'm going to have to research them more because I want to write some of these. These are really cool. That's interesting. Are you back with us yet, James? Are you still demonic? Nothing. Okay, I guess he isn't. So,
Am I still sounding demonic?
Yeah, you are, unfortunately. I don't know what it is. Usually it only happens like the last 5 minutes or so, but it's early tonight here. So.
There's an author, Mary Goff. She also, and Mercedes Yardley. We have a collection coming out sometime this year of micro shorts. Both of them, Mary and Mercedes, they write beautiful micro short stories.
You know, I'm still astounded because I think that they're so interesting, but yet I've never heard of them. When you said the micro shorts, I was like, what is that? But there's a whole book that's going to be just the micro shorts, really? That is so cool.
Yeah,
I have to get in on this.
There was one published a few years ago. It was free on Amazon by Raw Dog Press, and I believe it's $1 now. But this one will be coming out. Well, the publisher just got ill. He had some heart issues. So it got pushed back to later this year. And that's probably the best micros I've seen out of Mercedes and myself. We did one called Recycled, where we just took we switched line to line, and we only used lines from previously published works, and it turned out great. And there was one with, I think that's how you say it, Wamick. He helped me on a story as well. We co-wrote it together, Michael Short, his version, my version of the same tale.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Mercedes also did this. Sorry?
When you were talking about the seasonal depressive thingy, you know, when I used to live up in upstate New York, and, you know, winter times, snowing all the time, it was crazy. I always got just a little bit depressed at the end of winter when springtime, you know, everything was melting. I don't know if that's like, you know, the opposite of seasonal or if it's the same thing or whatever, but I loved the winter and, you know, everything would start to melt and then I would just get a little depressed.
Everything looks dead. It's still dead. And, you know, with the fresh powder, it's beautiful. You know, get to go snowshoeing.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. And I loved the feeling of being snowed in. I really did. And, you know, if you're snowed in, everything is just so quiet and peaceful. And, you know, all your cares kind of drift away because there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. So, I miss those days. It doesn't seem like we have quite as many, you know, or that whole global warming crap and stuff.
Where were you up in what area up here?
What's that?
You were in upstate? Was it a capital region?
Yeah, I lived in upstate New York, a tiny, tiny little town called Newark. It was close to, like, Rochester. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've lived all over. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Texas and where else? North Carolina, Tennessee. You know, I've lived everywhere. Well, I guess that's not really everywhere, but a few places. So.
I'm in Lake George and I love it here. I've been to L.A., Spokane, Texas, Baltimore, and Manchester, Connecticut, and always end up back here.
Yeah. Something about home. So, one of our segments here is embarrassing story time, and I hear that you have a really good one for us, and I'm sure that James will, he's going to love this one. He really is.
There's many from this period, but this is my favorite. Right. Well, I had my colon taken out due to ulcerative colitis and cancer, and I was in there for about 9 months. After the first surgery, I had an ostomy bag for about 3 months, and once I was able to walk again, one night I just woke up, went into the bathroom, and was going to the bathroom, and then I realized, you know, I was going to the bathroom out of my ass, and rang for the nurse, started freaking out, say they screwed up the surgery. Then she calmed me down and told me, you know, it's supposed to do that. There's years of fecal matter that's coming out. And she had to call my surgeon so he could assure me. And then he had to call the fellow or the resident doctor, and he assured me as well. And went back to bed, and next morning had another doctor reassure me.
Yeah, I have to say, James just loves poop stories. So as soon as you said you had a poop story, I was like, yes, you have to tell the poop story.
I loved that. That was great. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
There's another one that's, I don't know.
Go for it. No, go on. We like graphic poop stories here.
Well, I woke up from surgery, and I couldn't move. They had split open my stomach. You can see the surgery online. If you looked up proctocolectomy on YouTube, really interesting but graphic.
I don't know if I will, yeah.
I will.
There's an image at the end that is the worst, and that it kind of looks like the predator's mouth.
Oh my god.
But about two days after the surgery, my phone kept ringing. And I couldn't get it. I had to use my arms to get up to the phone and tell my sister, who kept calling, to stop calling. And as I did that, I felt warmth coming out of me. And there was a puddle of blood, just blood, nothing else, coming right out of me. And rang the nurse and freaked out on them again, or for the first time. And it just went all day, just blood coming out. You have two inner and outer sphincter in the rectum. You have no control over the inner. The outer you do. And I didn't have control because of that predator-looking contraption. I didn't have any control over any of them. So it just years and years came out, and it was mostly blood.
I'm having visions of that Stephen King story, Dream Catcher.
Yeah.
That was very, I don't even know. Yikes, that's what that was. I enjoyed the book though, and I pretty much enjoyed the movie as well. But yikes.
Yeah.
That's kind of. I actually read that book while I was receiving my infusions. Before the surgery, so I was getting chemo infusions, reading that book, and had that incident after.
So. Awesome. Bad timing.
You were kind of channeling Dreamcatcher at the time there.
Yeah. Living it.
This man next to me in the infusion lab, he had to get blood removed every 2 weeks, I believe. And it was just very odd, because it was about the size of a fire extinguisher, and you could see it looked like tomato soup, and he would just be reading the newspaper and totally cool about it. It's very weird to me.
Yeah, it sounds pretty weird.
I
got a better story, actually. This one's only one other person knows about this, so I'll tell everybody who's listening. There's a medication called Colicort, and you have to put it up your rump and squeeze the medicine inside, and then, you know, flex so it doesn't come out. You have to go down on your knees and your elbows and use one hand to reach around. My girlfriend at the time had, I think it was 20, 21, she had just left. So I started, you know, I got on the floor, relocated the tip, put it in, squeezed, and she had come back for her keys and saw me on the ground putting something up my ass. So.
Oh, my God.
She was cool with it. Like, she understood and laughed at it. She has that type of humor.
Yeah. Well, that's just as well, yeah.
We're so
these
friends
these embarrassing
today.
Stories sure beat any of mine.
I got home right when Mark was talking about, you guys were talking about swimming. Is there anything I missed? Anything? What did I miss? I've only talked to him a few times. He seems pretty interesting.
Yeah. He said he doesn't swim. He can't swim.
Uh-oh.
He caught that. And as I was saying, I mean, I because of a childhood accident, I didn't learn to swim until I was 33. So we shared our hatred of water.
Yeah, I think, wasn't that one of the, that was the 11 questions, the non-writing
was,
related
yeah.
fact about him. Yeah, and then,
yeah.
Of course, we have the bonus question that I would love to ask Dustin because I need more people on my side. Dustin, baseball or space or stamp collection? Which do you, what would you, you know, if you had to choose one?
Baseball.
Yay!
No, that was the wrong answer.
No, that was the right answer.
It's funny. I'm just sorry. Just back to the swimming. My father, who is 92 this year. No, sorry, I'm lying. 91. Sorry, beginning his part up. He never learned to swim ever, and he was in the Navy in the Second World War. And he said, well, you don't need to learn it because you're on a boat. He's not seen Titanic.
That's scary.
But no, he never learned to swim in 91 years. He's never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up on the Hudson River. So that was one of the first things all the Niagara kids were just kind of, we went to the beach or we're throwing off the rowboat and learned how to swim. And we go up to Lake George, we ride our bikes, and we swim from one island to the other. On the Hudson, we would, instead of going to the bridge, we would just get 2-liter bottles, fill them up with just water, or just air, take the water out or soda out, duct tape them to our bikes, get those little wacky noodles, duct tape them, and we'd swim across the lake to the trails.
Oh, wow.
Great fun. I think, despite my fear of what, you know, I all my kids learned to swim at an incredibly young age because I think it's important. I mean, just like I say, to be funny, actually, with my daughter, I mean, she's eight, just turned eight now. If her and I fell in a body of water, she'd probably rescue me. She'd be able to fish me out now. She's an excellent, all my kids are excellent swimmers now.
Yeah, my daughter, growing up in Florida, she was just maybe about 2 years old and fell into the deep end of a pool. And, you know, of course, I'd jump into, you know, oh, my God, my child. And before I could even get to her, she popped up at the top and she's spitting water out. But she was just fine, you know, because she had been in water for, time.
Well, it's funny, my daughter, when she was about that age, she'd jump in the pool, she'd be bobbing under the water and all that. Put her in a bath. You have to put a little hand towel over her face in case she got water on her face. For fuck's sake, been in the pool for 2 hours under the water most of the time, and now you got a bit of tap water and you think, really? I mean, yeah.
Well, time is just about up for this show tonight, and I want to thank you, Dustin. And can you let us know where we can find you online?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And where we can find your books, too.
Well, Amazon, and that's pretty much it nowadays. And online, Twitter is Dustin Lavalle, and my Facebook for my writing is Dustin Lavalle Author. I don't have a website or a Tumblr, nothing like that.
Yeah, I do think we have your links posted on our Facebook page as well, so if anybody listening
wants
to thought, Kim, that's where you can do it.
Awesome. And Xtina's going to be stealing the micro idea, so we'll look forward to Xtina's micro collection coming out very, very soon.
I love that. That's really cool.
I'm going to watch that with interest to see how you get on, because I wouldn't even know where to start, to be honest with you. I think I would really struggle with that. So hats off to you.
Yeah. Well, will you promise to come back and see us, Dustin?
Of course.
All right. I will be stalking you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Dustin. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll see
you
again soon. Okay. Good night.
Sounds good. Good night.
Bye-bye. Hey, I cannot believe we've only got a couple of minutes left. So how did that happen?
It goes by too fast. It really does.
It doesn't
and
just.
I can't believe today was 40. That's something, isn't it? I can't believe we're at 40.
Oh, no, me neither. Anywho, we'll soldier on. I'm looking forward to number 52. We'll have to do something special for 52, I think.
Yes, we will.
Like have the day off and just not bother, I think.
No, we have our listener. We have our listener to think of. And now we have two, so we have two listeners we have to think of.
We have two listeners. One of the new one, she just fucked off to bed, so we've just got back to the one now.
Oh, man.
I've got a headache now. I'm going to bed. Right, so it is that time when we say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night, and we will see you next. Well, we'll hear you next week, listener.
Every night I hope and pray and the dream lover will come my way. Yeah, girl, the hold in my arms to know the magic of her charm, because I want her. Yeah, girl. Yeah, girl.